Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled, The Resurrection, Fable or Fact? If true, how should this affect your life? Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
Well, I think that when a person experiences an encounter with Jesus in a deep and meaningful manner, there is a major diminishment in the struggle over whether Jesus actually resurrected from his death on the cross or not. At about 8 or 9 years old, Jesus was resurrected in my heart and mind when I opened the door to his knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. For me, it was, I will come in and sup with her and she with me. I've been feasting with Jesus Christ ever since, and what a feast it has been. When an individual opens that door to Jesus the Christ and continues to sup with him, regardless of the many ups and downs and dry periods we may have, the many times we may not feel like eating, or the times we simply leave our divine companion to eat out. If we return to the table with our companion, we will experience over and over personal resurrections as we allow Jesus the Christ to resurrect in us. I think this is probably the case for most of us who experience those resurrections, both the allowance of Jesus to be resurrected in us as well as our own, that we know Jesus as the Christ, as a redeemer from our own lower selves and from the ways of the lower world, as the Spirit of Truth. We know him as a divine presence within us and as an actual historical person who walked this planet as the Son of God and the Son of Man. Because of our personal experiences, we usually don't do debates about the factuality or mythology of the resurrection of Jesus, or even if he existed. With the gift of the Urantia book expanding my perspective of who Joshua ben Joseph was, I see the fact of Jesus' resurrection not only reflecting his divinity, but also showing us mortals the fact of our own resurrections into Urantia bodies after our physical death process. Just as the human Jesus graduated from his physical body into another body, a first-level Urantia body that is not completely material and not completely spirit, but somewhere in between. But just as he graduated into his first-level Urantia body, we too will experience a similar process. The play that Global Change Theater presents every Easter season, A New Beginning, uses the facts of Jesus' death and resurrection as presented in the fifth epical revelation. The Urantia book is called the fifth epical revelation. But those facts that are presented in that shows us how each of us, like Maggie in the play, who transformed into Ariza, can also be resurrected into a higher and better human being after we encounter Christ Michael and invite him to come and sup with us. Just as Maggie, in order to become Ariza, had to go through her season of Lent, her dark night of the soul, her personal adjudication, so too do each of us have to experience our own deaths and resurrections. In fact, we have to do this many times, especially here in divine administration, where our spiritual ascension is accelerated. We're told on page 1802 of the Urantia book that almost every human being has something which is held onto as a pet evil, and which the entrance into the kingdom of heaven requires as a part of the price of a mission. That's the ticket. That's how we get it. Give up that pet evil. Almost every religion has a practice that encourages individuals to go through a time of removing themselves from the affairs of the world and their personal agendas that involve ego, to retreat from that which keeps them from coming before God and going deep in to look at that dial, that pet evil that they must sacrifice in order to be more fully resurrected as an ascending son or daughter of God. Christ Michael transcends all religious traditions and dogma, all belief systems, and reaches to the heart of the matter for each soul who is willing to allow him to truly sup with him. I know that I have used this often, but the Sufi philosopher and poet Hafiz has this poem that states that most people don't want to be alone in a room with God. For if you allow that, God will turn us upside down and shake all the nonsense out. I think we've all experienced that before. Really opening our doors to Christ Michael in order for him to sup with us not only involves laughter and pleasantries, it also involves being alone in a room with God and getting the nonsense shaken out of us. It involves truly traveling the season of Lent or genuinely visiting the stations of the cross or deeply doing a vision quest or actually being in the dark night of the soul. Opening our doors to Christ Michael means feeling adjudicated, feeling remorse at times when we realize our wrongdoing, our mistakes and error, and even our sins. Many years ago, I watched a French film that I thought was very powerful, and I've never forgotten it, but I did forget the name of it. Can you believe it? But the story unfolded as an inspector interrogated a suspect in a murder that had happened the previous night. So they're in this small room, and here's this interrogator going at this man. And the suspect had seemed to have lost his memory. But as the story unfolds, he gradually regains it as the interrogation progresses. The suspect often feels agitated, tense, angry, and victimized when questions come up that force him to focus on a particular time of his life, a particular situation or event. Most of the time, the suspect is reluctant to answer the questions, but he is forced to, since he is in a small room with this guy who won't let up, who just continues to harass him. And often, this guy gets help. Other persons enter the room as if from thin air to remind the suspect of certain occurrences in his past. Finally, after a lot of internal and external struggle, a lot of screaming and whining on the suspect's part, the truth comes out. The suspect did commit the murder, and the victim was himself. He had killed himself. His interrogation was on the other side of death, in another dimension, what we in divine administration would refer to as the first mansion world. Now, we Urantia readers know that the first mansion world is the entry level for mortals who have moved on from the material world they were living in. The first mansion world is a major rehabilitation center that focuses on correcting the wrong, straightening out the crooked, bringing into divine pattern that which is outside of that design. We aligned with divine administration know that in this culture here on this earth that we are creating, this fourth dimensional actuality, we are experiencing first and also above mansion world reality. Sometimes it's second and third mansion world reality, but often it's the first. Back to the movie, which isn't an allegory applicable for us all. In order for this man to move on to bigger and better things in the first and ensuing mansion worlds, he had to face some truths about his own life. He had to look at the circumstances and events throughout his life, decisions he had made that had eventually brought him to the place of committing suicide. He had to face his own stuff, his own lies and wrongdoings, as well as the good things he had accomplished, the beauty within that he carried. It took a lot of effort from the main interrogator and those others who appeared to get this man to participate in his adjudication and ensuing healing. Those others were various humans, angels, and Urantia companions, trying to help this man face his own heart of darkness, his own pain, the consequences of his own life decisions, so that then he could begin to see his existing light and beauty, his potential, in order for him to be resurrected and have a vision of the wonders to come. He first had to travel his own stations of the cross, how he had crucified himself over and over again, with the decisions that he had made out of God's perfect will. Inviting Christ Michael to sup with us means that we must face our own life, our own selves, all of it, not just bits and pieces, but all of it, even that we've swept under the carpet and nailed the carpet down, or we've stuffed in the dark corner in the recesses of a closet that we never open, it's going to come out. So often, though, we don't want to sup with Christ. So we decide to eat out. We decide to go party down hard outside of divine pattern rather than deal with the cosmic interrogator. But when we do allow ourselves to be alone in a room with God, allow our nonsense to be shaken out of us, what a resurrection we have. Being in the room with the interrogator, the soul surgeon, will allow us to eventually rise up renewed, transformed, and empowered to go forward into light and life. Most of us have to often get alone in the room with the interrogator, with that soul surgeon, and his helpers in order to keep moving forward. If we don't, we plateau out. I hate to tell you this, but ascension for the rest of our existence, for eternity, is climbing wonderful mountains, and then we get to these tops and these peaks, and what a beautiful view. And man, how many of you have done a really hard climb or a hard run and you have felt on top of the world, literally as well as symbolically? That's what ascension is about. But there's a lot of training. There's a lot of work in it. We don't just wave the magic wand and we're up there on the top. So we can't hang out on the plateaus for too long. Because when we do, we begin to feel stagnated. We begin to get bored and restless. We begin to feel disenchanted and disappointed in ourselves. And then we lose the vision. And without the vision, not only a whole people will perish, but we as individuals will perish. So we have to keep entering that room and having dinner with the soul surgeon, the interrogator. If we don't, we can fall backwards, but we still often flee the dinner table thinking that it's so much easier outside of divine plan. And oftentimes it is for a little while, but I'm telling you, it goes bump in the night eventually, because we can't flee from it all the time. And there are times that we will be alone with ourselves, and usually we hate the company if we have not communed with our companion. But no matter how long we've put padlocks on the door, we haven't opened up that door maybe for years, and we feel like we're going crazier and crazier. But no matter how long we've done that and we've divorced him, he's sitting there every day, every moment, knocking, standing on that door, by that door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you hear me? Will you invite me in to feast with you? And so anytime we can say, yeah, open the door and allow him in. We can even be a little resentful about it. We can even whine and snivel for about 2 minutes. That's about all he allows. You know, we can wallow in self-pity, but we have to get off that pot eventually. But he'll come in all of our stinkiness, and he's going to ask us to take a few showers, baptisms, change our clothes, get brainwashed to get out of the brain stain. Yeah, it's fun to use those words. But anyway, if we do that, wondrous, wondrous things can happen. And sometimes we forget about it. We've had those wondrous things happen. We've had these little resurrections. Then we forget and we go crazy again. And we go round and round in our little heads and hearts. And then we hear. You know, it's almost like we become deaf. And with that kind of deafness is a lot of dumbness. But we'll hear that knock. And if we open it up, guess what? What a breath of fresh air. You know, and the humor comes in. We can look and say, man, I can't believe I did that. We can joke about it as well as weep. We can feel repentance. We can feel shame. And we can feel joy. We can feel relief and be resurrected again. That's the message of resurrection. Hafiz says that when we do allow God to come into that room with us, instead of going, oh, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 let me bring out my list and what I have, my plans, God. He says, be quiet and just sit there. So in closing, I'd like to share another poem of his. Just sit there right now. Don't do a thing. Just rest. For your separation from God is the hardest work in this world. Let me bring you trays of food and something that you like to drink. You can use my soft words as a cushion for your head. Thank you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.